One day this summer, while we were down in Devonshire for our holidays, we went out prawning. And as the weather was hot, and I suppose the prawns were feeling too idle to get out of the way, we caught quite a good number, and that was that. On our way home along the beach, we kept on coming across patches of that pink, feathery sort of seaweed you often see, and my wife thought some of it had looked rather nice floating in a large glass bowl we'd got. So we picked up a certain amount of this stuff, this seaweed, and in order to keep it fresh, we just dropped it into the tin of salt water we were carrying the prawns in. We didn't think they'd mind. As it turned out, it wasn't at all a clever idea, because when we got back, we found that the prawns had thoroughly tangled themselves up in this seaweed. I mean, you know what an awful lot of arms and legs and whiskers and things prawns have, which catch on everything, and it was quite a business to undo them. However, we did at last manage to sort them out, and the prawns went into a saucepan of boiling water, and the seaweed was put into its glass bowl. Very well. About an hour later, someone happened to look in the glass bowl, and they noticed that there was one odd prawn swimming about all by itself, like a goldfish. Must have been overlooked somehow. And we all started arguing about what we ought to do with it. It certainly wasn't worthwhile lighting the oil stove again to boil a special saucepan of water for it. Neither did it seem exactly kind to leave it to pine away slowly where it was. One might, of course, have caught it and given it a bash on the head, but that wouldn't have been kind either. At least we didn't think so, and the idea didn't fit in with our holiday mood. So I finally volunteered to do the only possible thing. I said, I will take Percy the prawn and put him back in the sea. You just wait. And mind you, this wasn't quite as easy as it sounds, because our bungalow stands on the top of a high cliff, and it takes at least 7 minutes to climb down to the beach, and twice as long to get back. But no matter. I'd said I'd do it, and I did it, with Percy in a tumbler of salt water, firmly clutched in my hand. Well, when I eventually arrived at the edge of the sea, I began to feel selfish. I said, here I've had all the trouble of climbing down this cliff. Why shouldn't I share some of Percy's joy at being put back where he came from? So instead of chucking him straight in, as I easily might have done, I didn't. I went to the extreme edge and scooped out a little pool in the wet sand and turned him loose in that. By the way, just then a young woman in a pearl necklace and a green bathing dress came along and asked me what I was doing. I told her I was minding my own business, and she was simply furious and went away. Anyhow, to get back to Percy, putting him in the pool had bucked him up no end, and he darted about in great style, getting more brisk and transparent every moment. The tide was coming in rather fast, and when the first wave came, I skipped back to avoid it. But when it had retired, I walked out to the little hollow that was all that was left of my pool, and, do you know, Percy hadn't gone. No, he'd somehow managed to stay behind, and there he was, swimming about in very little water indeed. I don't know how he did it. But even that wasn't the last of him. He was still there after the second wave, although it was far bigger and busier than the first, and there was almost no pool left, certainly not enough to swim in, but, as I say, there he still was, and he gazed up at me in such a faithful and affectionate kind of way that there was no doubt at all that he'd stopped behind on purpose, just to show how grateful he was. Prawns are like that. Anyway, by the time the third wave came over, he evidently thought he'd done enough, and when it left, he went too. I, for my part, climbed all the way back up the cliff, and I really did feel, when I got to the top, that for once I'd done my good deed for the day. Well, now comes the extraordinary part of this story. Soon after we came back to London, I had to go to a very big and very dull dinner at a restaurant. I shan't tell you which restaurant, because I mustn't advertise it, and the cooking was beastly. But, and this is the point, the second course of this dinner consisted of some obscure form of lobster trimmed with prawns. Well, I was looking at the bit they'd given me with a certain amount of distaste and apprehension, when one of the prawns that belonged to it suddenly came to life. It sprang out of its tuft of lettuce and advanced to the middle of the plate. And when it got there, it took up an attitude like a praying mantis, if you know what that is, and it generally did everything it could to attract my attention. As soon as it saw I was looking, it addressed me in a thin, piping treble. I can't imitate its voice, but it said, "You probably don't remember me, but I'm Percy." Well, I said, "On the contrary, I remember you perfectly, and how do you do and all that, but what's your particular trouble at the moment?" And he said, "It's simply this. I beg of you, in fact, I beseech you not to have any of this lobster." And I said, "My dear good Percy, of course I won't. I wouldn't dream of such a thing. But tell me, why are you so anxious that I shouldn't?" And he said, "Don't ask me, because I'm much too boiled to answer questions. But don't eat any, that's all." And he tottered back to his lettuce leaf. Well, just then a waiter came along and took my plate away, so we couldn't talk any more. But the strange thing is that during the night, no fewer than 17 of the people who were at the dinner were taken very seriously ill, and one of them nearly died. Now, what do you think of that?